When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yo, what you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Hello everybody, I hope you're well.
Welcome to The Wolf and the Owl, a podcast by two idiots, one who calls himself an owl and one who calls himself a wolf.
Now, there are some podcasts out there that might have a theme or they might have a structure. And they might even have a little bit of planning done before the podcast start getting recorded. We like to do things a little bit differently over here at Wolf and Owl House. What you're about to listen to is two friends, completely unprepared, apropos of nothing, just having a conversation. And just in case you're under any illusions, nothing you hear has been pre-written or scripted. This is all completely improvised. And when you start to hear the level of quality of the content, I think you'll start to believe us.
So kick back, put on your earphones, and let the waves of Wally dulcate your ears. Don't say a word.
No, but...
You know what it means though, right?
No.
You look proper chill blade sitting there. You look good.
Do I?
Yeah, you look good. That looks nice.
Thanks. Thanks.
How are you acclimatizing to being back in England? Not living in your villa vibes.
Yeah, good. I like it. I'm enjoying it. I did something quite disgusting last night where I got back from filming last night really late. And on the way back, I ordered a massive Wagamama's.
Oof.
And then everyone's asleep in the house, right? And then I let myself in, Wagamama's arrives, and I just sort of sit there. You know what it reminded me of? You know if you're watching a movie and they're trying to set up how depressing a guy's life is?
Yeah.
You know, and it sort of follows him in through the corridor, picks up the takeaway, and it's just a guy, it's just me with like three different massive pots of food just on my own, just fucking shoveling it. And a couple of times, because I was sort of watching something, I was watching something on my laptop as well, a couple of times I put too much food for the size of my mouth into my mouth.
Like, oh, man.
And then just had to sort of work it down like a fucking snake.
Like, you know the worst thing is when you've got a beard as well, there's no hiding dribbling.
Right. Yeah.
When you've got like, it's like, obviously for you, it's like you've got a towel or a Brillo pad around your whole face at the moment.
Mm. It does make it, that does sort of imply that my beard's sort of disgusting.
I know you wash it every
bacterial
morning.
Bacterial mess or it's sort of trapped food and shit that's not made it into my mouth.
Like the twits. You know, you're saying about, like, because I've been filming up in Liverpool, so it's a mad one when you sit and eat. Like, there's no limit on the food. Like, I've got into sort of like, I was like, oh, you know what, I'm going to be a little bit healthy and get into sort of like Lebanese sort of Turkish food, just like kebabs, rice. And I was like, I go in there with all the intention of that being the thing I want to eat. And then with that, you'll end up with like, oh, I might get some halloumi. And I might get those like things you do with lamb and potatoes. Oh, and you know what? Throw in some sausage. And before you know it, like you're sitting there just with a like fucking pile of mass food.
Yeah. There's something about the psychology of like, so when I was looking at that, when I was in the car on the way home, and I was looking at the Wagga's menu, and I was looking for anything. I like that. I like that. I like that. And most people would think, well, why don't I have that today? And then another day in the future, when I decide to have Wagga, I can try the other thing. Not for me. My fear of missing out, you know, my fear of being in the middle of something, eating something, and then going, I could have had that. That would have been delicious.
But I'm with you on that. There's nothing worse than like if you sit there and like feel like a bit of a pig and you've wolfed your way through a load of food, right? And there's something quite rewarding about that, right?
Mm.
But if you sit there and go, ah, man, I wish I'd ordered those spring rolls. Or I wish, you know, like where I sit on Wagamama's, man. Like, I can't get my head around. Like, I think prawn crackers, as I've said time and time again, would just be amazing if they could just get prawn crackers or something to alleviate the ramen. Like, you know, I think
it's not a condition. Incredible. Ramen is not an infection.
No, if you don't.
It's not an ache. It doesn't need alleviating. It's not back pain.
No, but it's a pain to eat it sometimes without prawn crackers. Have you ever had prawn crackers with a ramen?
No. I can't really have prawn crackers. No, I can't have prawn crackers.
Oh, man.
I mean, I have to get some sort of non-prawn substitute. I think they're called crackers. No, you can get prawn crackers that don't have prawn.
You can get the spicy ones, right?
It's such a needless inclusion of prawn, by the way.
Yeah.
No, nobody that enjoys prawn crackers, nobody in the history of eating prawn crackers has said, you know what really makes these? The prawn.
I think it's just prawn flavouring, right? It's not actual prawns.
It depends on where you're getting your prawn crackers from.
Really?
I think the high end prawn crackers have got a bit of prawn in.
I like the really cheap ones. I like the really cheap puffy ones. Yeah. Mm. They're the best ones.
Have you ever tried to like fry them up yourself?
Yeah, it's not the same as poppadoms. It's just not the same.
Mm. People have started doing that with pasta. Oh, mate, you've got an air fryer, haven't you?
Yeah.
Have you heard about this pasta thing?
What pasta thing?
If you stick pasta in the air fryer,
right,
it sort of puffs up like a nice little crispy snack.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold up. Do you have to...
By the way, guys, just so you know, as you know, Tom is not one for allowing an interruption to throw him off his game. But he has been so... He's literally just got so excited about the prospect of a new snack that he's got access to for his air fryer, a new way to fucking jerk off about his air fryer. He's buzzing. Go on.
So do you use dry pasta or do you use cooked pasta?
Great question. I think it's dry pasta. I mean, I didn't pay that much attention because I don't have an air fryer, but apparently it tastes great.
I find it insane that you haven't got an air fryer yet.
You find it insane?
Yeah. I just find that. I've told you so many times.
You would happily, if you were having a conversation about me, the guys as a podcast going, Ramesh, yeah, good. But, you know, that bloke is insane. Absolutely insane. Do you think people in a million guesses will think that means I don't have an air fryer?
Oh, right. Imagine back in the day when someone first invented ovens and people had been cooking on open fires, right?
Sure.
And someone turned around and said, why are you cooking on an open fire when you could get an oven to cook in? What's an oven? Oh, like you could put the food in, you put a timer on, and it will cook it for you.
That's what you think the next direct step from fires was.
Of course, it was.
You think it went directly from open fire, from cooking an open fire, to a fully installed oven with a timer on it.
No, it wasn't fully installed. It was in caves.
Stop cooking on that fire, mate. I've got a double oven and a microwave here.
Right.
We just hollow out this section of cave here. It'll just slot right in.
Right.
You put some inserts around it that are cave coloured, so you won't even see the joins.
Right. No, what it was, right? You've got to think in your head, right? Okay.
Yeah.
It was like four, six bits of metal.
Guys, I've just watched Tom try and count how many sides there are on a cube with his hands. He can't even fucking visualise it.
Oh god! Right, so there's six bits of metal, right?
Yeah.
One of them's got an opening in, which is the door. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you explaining another? Sorry, are you thinking that I'm still cooking on fire?
Yeah, you're the one cooking on fire, and I'm coming to you.
Oh right, so this is a role play.
Right, so I come up to you and go, "Oh, you're all right, mate. How you doing? Oh, you're still cooking on fire."
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm cooking on fire. Everyone's cooking on fire. That's how we cook.
Not me. I've got six sheets of metal, right?
Yeah. What are you doing that with your hands?
Just so I can show you how it works.
Right.
And one of them opens, and I put food in there, and it cooks quicker. There's two sheets of metal which act as shelves in there. So, yeah.
What are shelves? What are shelves?
Oh, shit. Sorry, man. Yeah, looking around your cave, I can see you haven't even got shelves. So, you know, like sometimes we'll find ornaments and like skulls and stuff.
What are ornaments?
Well, you know that wooden cup that your wife made the other week?
Yeah.
That's what we class as an ornament.
Yeah. Stop looking at my wife's cup, by the way.
So you basically, it's a place for you to put your skulls and your ornaments and stuff.
Okay.
And your crockery.
So how come you've got a shelf in your, what's it called, oven?
So then I can put my food, like my, you know, my pig's carcass or my lamb in there. And then I light a fire underneath the oven.
Do you know, can I tell you something? I'm getting fed up of having to keep saying pig's carcass every time we're making pig's carcass. We should try and think of a shorter word. Mm. What about pork?
Well, let's see how that catches on. I think for you, it's probably worth you getting your head around how an oven works before you start thinking you're the king of the kitchen like Gordon Ramsay. Basically, mate, it will change your life. It will stop you charring food, and it will make sure the food is cooked inside and out. Get yourself an oven.
Well, thank you so much. I think I will.
Yeah, but unless it's you, Ramesh, who probably wouldn't. You'd just keep on cooking on.
Why would I keep cooking on fire?
Because it's the same thing with the air fryer. You've heard incredible feats that the air fryer has accomplished, right? And you're still like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to get one. I don't know whether to, you know.
No, it's not. I'm not sure I'm going to get one. I'm not considering buying one at all.
But why not?
What's so good about it?
Well, okay,
sell it to me now. Sell it to me now.
If I had a friend and I turned around to you, like, oh my God, you've got to meet Aaron. Oh, he's incredible. He's such a laugh. Mm. He's such a good guy. Would you want to meet him?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But do I have to pay to meet Aaron?
No.
And will he sit on my kitchen worktop forever? Because that sort of affects things.
Right. In a way, you have to pay to meet because you've got to buy him a drink when you get there, right? Mm.
This is how it go down. Oh, sorry, I'm going to introduce you to my mate Ramesh. Great thing about him, you get a drink out of the mug, you little prick. I've told him he'll get you a beer, so don't worry about it. No, I know. I said I'd get him in, but listen, trust me.
He'll get at least two rounds before we can slip off. He's 30 quid in the water and we're down the road.
Okay, God, so tell me about this air fryer then. How much do they cost, first of all?
Mate, I think now you probably get one for about 150 quid.
Okay.
Right.
So I would describe that as a significant kitchen investment, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But think, I mean, to be brutally honest, if I'm going to be, because I have to be honest with you, I think I probably used my air fryer 4 months ago.
Okay, so why? Okay.
So if you want you could buy my old one from me, so it won't be as expensive.
Yeah, but then you won't have one. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I could probably get a new one at some point.
You don't like your air fryer, do you? That's when I said to you, okay, this is unfucking believable, right? What's just gone down?
I'm just saying to you.
So the reason you got excited about me saying about the pasta is because you thought finally there might be another use for this piece of shit that I was raving about nonstop. In a similar manner to somebody would if they felt like they'd found God, right? We cast our minds back to you first getting the air fryer. The amount of shit you were spouting about it. You've just had a go at me about not getting an air fryer. And now we discover you've been unmasked. Your air fryer is useless.
No, right, okay. I think maybe I could probably give you my old air fryer.
I don't want your air fryer. Let me explain something to you. I don't want your air fryer if you give me 50 quid. Okay? Right? I do not want your air fryer.
Right, okay. When's Lisa's birthday? When's Lisa's birthday?
April.
Oh, okay. So, look, what about Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I've still got a box for it.
Yeah.
I'll give it a wife out for you, right? So you won't even know it's ever been...
Why did that sound so awful?
Right?
Yeah.
You give it to her for Christmas and see what she thinks.
I think she'll think this is you've given me a used air fryer. I wonder how long it'll take me to go through the admin of leaving you.
But she might enjoy it. She might get a kick out of it. She'll do like Christmas potatoes in it, some parsnips.
Cut the shit, okay? Do you regret buying the air fryer?
Yeah, a bit, yeah. The truth of the matter
What were you making it? You're making chips and stuff, right?
Yeah, but they were never as crispy as real chips, right?
This is not what you used to say to me.
Yeah, because, right, I thought if you got one as well, then we'd be like the air fryer brothers, right?
Okay.
At first, if I'm honest with you, I thought, oh, you know what, after a while, we'll get the hang of it and it will be... Because if you watch, right, you can watch YouTube and fucking Instagram... people doing like fucking incredible things in them. But now I...
What sort of things are you talking
really
about?
Really crispy chips, nice spring rolls.
Mm. You're playing fast and loose with the word incredible, I'd say.
Right. But actually as an average or probably below par fucking air fryer person, right? Air fryer, mate, it's impossible to get the same satisfying...
Why is it impossible? What have you got to do?
Because you haven't got the oil, the crispiness isn't there.
Yeah, but why are they able to do it and you're not? What level of technique do you need with an air fryer that you can't...
You know what I think? And look, I do not want to get into any sort of argument with fucking air fryer people because I know they're like, they've got, it's like quite cultish. And I was a part of that for a time, admittedly at the lower echelons of it, right? But I think there's a lot of people out there putting stuff in real fryers or deep oil fryers, right? Fry their stuff so it's crispy and brown and then putting it into the fucking air fryer. And I think, yeah, there's a bit of that going on.
Why? To what end? What purpose are you doing that
for? So people look and go, oh, fucking hell, look how amazing. That's why I brought one, because I saw how crispy and brown stuff was coming out. Honestly, mate, I tell you now, I've put so much stuff in there. Never once have I ever taken a bite of something and gone, oh, that's incredible. That's amazing. That's just
you
like
you were raving about it to me. When you That's all you talked about.
Yeah, I know, yeah, because I think at the time.
You literally just not on this, during this conversation, compared the innovation of the air fryer to the invention of the first oven.
Yeah, because I was trying to get rid of my air fryer. I wanted you to take it off me. Look, I do think given time and an investment in time, you can make it work for you. But at the moment in my life, I've got so many things going on. I can't give that much time to being great at air fryer.
What do you mean give so much? You're not learning Spanish.
No,
you're using a fucking air fryer.
Yeah, mate.
Why do you need to invest time in it?
Because it's not like, okay, look, have you ever used a deep fat fryer?
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. Great invention. Yeah. You can't fuck up with it. You do everything. You try doing donuts in a air fryer, or you just get a slightly cooked dough. You do deep fry.
Just imagining you sitting there all excited, raving to Catherine about how you're about to have the most delicious donuts ever, and then a sad look of disappointment. Did you make donuts in it?
Tried to make everything. And let me tell you what, yeah? Everything I've ever cooked in it has been a massive anticlimax.
Oh.
It's like... it's a reaction of anything that comes out of that air fryer.
Mm.
Yeah, and then there was a part of me that thought, oh, you know what, it'll be amazing when we're cooking Christmas dinner. I would never give my air fryer the responsibility of doing a roast potato, a parsnip, a carrot on the most important cooking day of the year.
Maybe you should stop trying to cook your vegetables individually.
What? Of course you do when it comes to Christmas dinner, you do. How do you do yours?
What do you mean, how do I, man?
Look, what? How does Lisa do it?
Who does the Christmas dinner at your house?
Me. I always have.
Why are you frying anything?
No, I'm not frying anything. I'm just saying.
Why are you using... Let me explain this to you. This is what I don't understand about you. I just feel like you're expecting too much from this fucking air fryer. When you make Christmas dinner, you use an oven. I feel like I'm telling you now, have you heard of an oven, right? Nobody's deep frying their Christmas dinner. So why the fuck are you trying to air fry it?
No, because to get crispy carrots or crispy parsnips, it look, mate, how big
do you have? No. For Christmas dinner, right? I know you're a good cook, right?
Yeah.
Do you deep fry your vegetables?
No.
No.
Well, because you know what? If I had someone who, like, a responsible enough sidekick, aka a deep fat fryer, there's a good chance that I might like to get my potatoes even crispier, give them a little whop in some hot
oil.
It's
a good shout, because what, you know, one of the things that people say about Christmas dinner is it's tasty but too light in calories. How do we step this up a level or two?
No, right. Have you ever had tempura sprouts? But the truth of the matter is, mate.
No, I've not ever had tempura sprouts. But can I just while we're on this topic,
yeah.
Tempura vegetables are just, I love them so much.
I mean, if they're good.
They are delightful. Okay. Yeah, all right, if they're good. Can we just assume that I mean when they're good?
I tried to do them.
I love tempura vegetables, do you, Tom? Yeah, as long as they're not the shit ones. Well, yeah, that's implicit in what I'm saying.
No, right. I tried to do them in the air fryer. Turned into an absolute disaster.
Well, what happened?
They just, none of the batter stuck to the vegetables. So you just ended all like a layer of batter and then some vegetables.
You think you're just not doing it for long enough?
I just don't think the air fryer knows what it's doing. I think it's just, look, I think there was a real cleverness to the person who invented it, right? Right. And I'd like to shake them by the hand. But then I'd like to sit with them with the diagrams and the plans that they had to make it and go, right, look, I think this is how we could have done it better, mate. We needed more oil, maybe. I don't know.
Why were you telling me that you really liked it at the beginning then?
Because
you're trying to convince yourself.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Do you know why, Romesh? And this is... Yeah. This is a very open thing that I'm going to tell you right now about me as Tom Davis and the Wolf, and I'm going to come out and say it. I'm something of a sheep when it comes to everyone was getting air fryers, and it's like it's
this is so pathetic.
Right, let me just go back and tell you how pathetic it is.
Okay.
I couldn't ride. I was the last kid in my school to be able to ride a bike. Right.
Okay. But
right.
This is.
But I used to I'll tell you what. As a kid, I had a skateboard that I couldn't use. Right?
Okay, before you carry on the story, JT, our editor, can you add a little bit of sad music underneath this? Because Tom is about to use childhood impoverishment as an excuse for why he bought an air fryer and pretended.
So basically, here we are. Right? I couldn't use a skateboard. Right? Other kids could use skateboards and be like, "Oh, mate, I went down this like hills and mountains, whatever. I busted some fucking sweet 12s and whatever." Right?
There's our confirmation that you haven't had a skateboard before.
I used to pretend that I'd been out skateboarding because I was too embarrassed to say that I couldn't use a skateboard, right? Same thing with a bike, right? And the air fryer was probably an adult version of that. I did not want people to look around at me and go, "Oh, he can't use an air fryer. He's not able to." I didn't want that on my resume as a human being. So when the world was going fucking air fryer crazy, I enjoy being a part of that. Sue me.
Tom, I really enjoyed that story. The only thing that I was sort of sort of challenge on that is you're literally the only fucking person that ever mentioned an air fryer to me. So, you're talking like air fryers were like Love Island.
Everyone was fucking, there was flat screen TVs
or something. Like, nobody was talking about air fryers, man. Like, I don't know what circles you're socializing in.
I'd say
I literally, you're the only person that was talking about air fryers to me.
I think you're right. I think like probably 30% of the world's population were on.
30% of the world's population were talking about air or on air fryers.
Yeah. I think during lockdown, when everyone was worried about like cooking
that shows such a depth of lack of understanding of what level most of the world is operating at.
Right. Okay. 30% of the Western world were talking about air fryers.
Talking about
right?
air fryers. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm accepting that fucking ridiculous statement as your compromise position. But go on.
People were talking about it because I think it was a healthier way of people eating the snacks that they want. Restaurants were closed. People wanted that restaurant crispness, that fucking vibe, and they couldn't get it.
Mm.
And that's where air fryers stepped in and went, oh, hi there, we can help out. And, you know, and that's why I always respect air fryers for their, like their intention. But in the end, I just don't think it worked out for them.
Yeah, okay. So had you ever made anything that you enjoyed from the air fryer?
I made some sweet potato fries. It's just the crispiness was hard to get. That's what I mean about cooking vegetables in it for Christmas dinner. You would probably have to cook them without them being too crispy, and you don't use a lot of oil. It might come in useful at Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
To me? Are you still trying to get me to take this air fryer?
I'm just saying that if you and Lisa have only got a small oven, like...
When have I ever said that Lisa and I have only got a small oven?
What, have you got an Arga?
No, I've not got a...
You know, the lowest point of my week this week has been the fact, during filming, I had the worst BO I've ever had in my life.
Okay. How were you made aware of this BO?
Right, let me just... So, the thing we're filming at the moment is set in the 80s. And so, all the costumes are retro 80s costumes. And one of mine is a tracksuit, but it's, like, completely, like, synthetic. It's got no... It doesn't breathe at all, right? I'm in this tracksuit for, like, 8 hours, and gets to hour number six, and I was sort of like walking around, and I caught a whiff of really strong, like rancid BO, right? And I'm like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Like someone's kicking up. And I smelt it more and more. It was everywhere I went.
When you say rancid, do you mean like how disgusting? Are you talking about unusually just like
yeah,
you kind of not heard, right, smelt it at that level for a while?
Yeah, like, look, we've all had a little kick up here and there, like, might have had a workout, might not have had, like, you know, whatever. There's BO. This was absolutely toxic, right? So I noticed it, and then I thought, I need to say I know that this is happening, because if I don't, and I don't reference it, that's going to be, everyone's just going to think, oh, he always smells.
Mm.
Like, he has BO. That's just, you know. So I sort of said to everyone I came across that, oh, by the way, I smell BO. Like, I'm aware of this.
Mm.
Yeah, this isn't my usual vibe. It's just down to the tracksuit. I had a wash this morning. I used deodorant. Okay. I probably need stronger deodorant for when I wear that tracksuit. But at one point, our mutual friend, Alan Sipa Mustafa, right, who's was in the scene with me, he was being very sweet, and he was trying to say I didn't smell a BO, right? Mm. To which I put my hand under my arm. Yeah. And I said, look, smell this. And I
okay.
And he sniffed my finger, and I swear he went green. He looked like he was going to be sick.
Why did you do that?
So, to prove to him how bad it was. Like, it was horrible, man.
Yeah, but why did you want to prove to him?
Because I
was... Let me just break it down for you what's happened there. Sipa, lovely man, right?
Yeah.
He's gone. Tom smells disgusting in his head. This is what he's gone through. Tom smells disgusting. He's clearly very embarrassed about that. What I want to do, he's a friend of mine. He's a lovely bloke. Let me try and make him feel at ease by saying he doesn't smell. A series of wonderful decisions. He's trying to make you feel at ease. He's trying to make you feel comfortable. What a nice thing to do. His reward for doing that, what he gets as a prize for doing that lovely thing, is for you to wipe your hand under your armpit and force him to smell it.
No, he came forward to sniff it.
Yeah, because Because otherwise, I assume you keep advancing towards him.
No, no, I went like that. This is how the action went. Wipe, boom, smell it. Like, this is disgusting, isn't it? And he went, oh, yeah, like that. Look, if it's any, I don't want you feeling that. If you were there, you'd have been the first person I'd have gone to with my armpit.
No, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. That's why I'm it was, so lucky to be one of your friends.
But then the worrying thing is then costume, who I didn't necessarily talk to, another friend of ours, Lindsay Moore, is the costume on this. I'm now worried that she's going to smell the costume and it's going to stink.
Yeah, but have you spoken to, like, you know, when you speak to these, the costume departments are very sure. The stuff they've seen, somebody told me about, like, you know, but they find skid marks and stuff like that.
Really?
In costume. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you need to talk to them. The stuff that they found in costume, like a bit of whiffy armpit.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, and Lindsay's great. She'll know, like, that sort of material can get like that. Don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it.
Isn't it a worry, though, that that was how synthetics were back in the day and tracksuits were? Everyone had BO in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess it's possible that as a population, we have kind of got less smelly throughout the... You know, because people talk about technological advancements.
Yeah.
That's one that hasn't really been talked about.
I know, it's gone do people
smell better now? They must do, right? People are more... And men in particular are more aware of how they smell than they used to
be, break down... Look, nothing against Duke, Cool Water, Izzy Miyagi. I had some great times in all of those aftershaves, right? But I think aftershaves for men smell so much better now.
Izzy Miyagi? Because that Izzy Miyagi aftershave, that, I mean, everybody I knew wore that.
Yeah.
Right? That, you want to talk about air fryers and being embarrassed not to have one. If you weren't wearing Izzy Miyagi, you were dead at a certain point, right?
You know, because obviously, as one of your close friends, you know that I'm a bit of a rule breaker. And I like to do fucking nutty stuff. I used to mix Cool Water and Dupe.
Why?
No, just give it that. So it was a completely new fragrance that no one could quite place. Some people were like, oh, is that Dupe or is that Cool Water? And it was a mix of the two.
Tom, I know you think that that's a bit, you're sort of saying it in a bit of a shamefaced way. People do that. That's a legitimate thing.
What's that mixing?
Mixed fragrances. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think... I'm about to pay you a big compliment. I think that's actually seen as quite a cool thing to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like a properly individual...
A vibe.
I mean, you know, I don't think they just randomly mix the only two things they've got on their show. I think people tend to think about
it. Yeah, but that was the only two. I think there was only like three, because back then, Brute and all that sort of stuff was frowned upon. Yeah.
CK1, did you ever rock a bit of CK1?
Yeah, I think I've actually got some CK1 still now in my wardrobe, my aftershave collection.
Do you reckon Izzy Miyagi would smell nice now if you wore it? Like, you can still buy it, can't you?
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think in a retro kind of way, yeah.
Mm.
This is what I'm saying, man. I genuinely was really psyched to put on this tracksuit and it literally had nothing. Like, I love a tracksuit, as you well know. It had nothing in it. It was like no breathability. And then I was like, did just everyone just smell through that whole, you know, and even before, I suppose actually before that, cottons and stuff, people weren't wearing, you know, people wear a suit, so it's just synthetic. Then you realise what's really going on with the ozone layer and water and stuff and the oceans.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So you thought all that while you're on set, just after Sipa recalled at your armpit fingers?
Well, no, in my head I'm like, oh, this is probably what's fucked the ozone layer, because you think in that time, right, at some point, let's just say, most of the planet was wearing those sorts of tracksuits, right?
Mm-hmm. Most of the planet.
Yeah, one way or another. Mm-hmm. They were wearing synthetic clothes, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, obviously, there's a few still kicking around in retro stuff, but a lot of those, where have they gone? Have you got the answer for that?
Are you genuinely asking me? I thought it was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, where have they gone?
It's very difficult to know with you whether you need an answer or not. I don't know.
Right, so they've gone into landfills, if we're lucky.
Oh, so it was a rhetorical question. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Right, okay.
Landfills, they've been burnt, like with tyres and stuff. That is, those tracksuits, I think, look, my BO was upsetting for me. It was, you know, but actually those tracksuits, what they've done is, I think, they are one of the biggest causes of the ozone layer happening.
This is absolutely classic Tom Davis. This is incredible work from you yet again. You've had a bad day on set, right? Because his tracksuit made you smell a bit. And so you've decided to blame those tracksuits for the depletion of the ozone layer.
Wait, they are not environmentally friendly. I can tell you that much now.
What do you think of your... How environmentally friendly do you think you are now?
This Adidas top is made from recycled other plastics and clothes.
You're so fancy.
Adidas actually do an amazing range of recycled stuff.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Trainers, etc. Shout out Adidas for that. Because they're really leading the way when it comes to doing that.
I'm just sort of intrigued by your sudden levels of enthusiasm there. They're really leading the way, are they?
Also, when it comes, they do a whole... You'll be interested to know this, actually. They do a whole range of nice vegan trainers.
I know. I've got both the... Well, I've got the Stan Smiths and the Superstars. I don't know if... Do they do any other ones apart from that?
I saw a pair of black pair the other day that was fucking luscious, boy.
Yeah.
So shout out Adidas for keeping the fucking... Yeah, keeping the planet safe and also making lovely stuff.
And can I just say, while we're on that subject, Adidas, if you are suddenly wondering why you've suddenly got a spike in sales, you're welcome.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
You ready for some emails?
Yow.
Okay, this is from...
Oh, actually, just quickly, on the... Just BO-wise, can we get, like, just people sending in email, either DM Wolf and Owl or Ramesh or myself?
You can DM Tom if you want.
What is the best, strongest deodorant to deal with synthetic fabrics? Like, if there's anyone out there who's an expert in such things.
Or just tips for sort of minimising BO. Also, I'd love to hear, for Tom's benefit, for some air fryer users that could give us some tips on...
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Why has Tom's air fryer journey become so tragic? Could anyone give us any tips, please?
And actually, if you're listening to this, you're compelled to go out and buy some ecologically sound Adidas wear at the Wolf and Owl Pod. Adidas in the same hit, so they can see that obviously we're spreading such a fucking humble and decent word.
I think somebody's after a box of free gear. Okay, so this email is from the humble earthworm.
Wow. You remember Earthworm Jim?
Yeah, Earthworm Jim.
Cool. That was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't it a cartoon as well?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think the game came before the cartoon, a bit like He-Man.
Oh, did you watch Masters of the Universe Revelation, by the way?
No, I've not seen it yet. Is it good?
Listen, I just want to talk about this very quickly, just because you reminded me. So I watched all of them recently. And it's quite controversial. I don't know if you remember, when this new series first came out, there's a bit of a kickoff online. I sort of don't want to say why, because it's a bit of a spoiler. There's a bit of a kickoff online. I've watched all of the shows. I just think they did a brilliant... It's an amazing thing they've done, man.
Oh, really?
It's so good. It's so, so good. Like, if you enjoyed watching He-Man as a kid, you will just... What they've done to that story is just... I really loved it. I loved it.
Amazing.
So, anyway, I'll be honest with you. I sort of added such little insight to what I said there.
I'm sure loads of people will be tuning in.
Why have you got to be like this?
I'm just saying. If you're going to sell something, sell it like the big man does.
Okay. All right, yo to the Wolf Allen Central Swan. Love the pod. It'd be great to see you two on TV together again soon. Perhaps the Wolf and Al could be adapted for TV in a Queer Eye style format. You travel the country as a pair, teaching people how to do them. Anyway, my question is this. Recently, you discussed meat alternatives, and Tom remarked at how far they'd come in recent years. My question is this. Would you eat meat grown in a lab from cells, and would Tom consider it real meat? It's identical to real meat, but without the animal suffering, and is this next step in meat alternatives. It will hit supermarket shelves in the coming years, but I wonder if as a market, as both meat eaters and vegans could be repulsed by the idea of it. Where do you stand? So where do they get the animal, the meat cells from? They've got to start with a...
I think it's already dead meat. It's meat that's already died.
That's true of all meat, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but what I think it is, right, is it's like, right, let's get the cells before we sell this. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So
they're about to sell a chicken breast, and then they like just chop off a little bit, and they start.
Yeah, they'll chop off like a ton, probably about that much, because cells fucking grow, man. You can grow cells really quickly. It's just the most. But I'd say an inch by an inch, you have. And mate, that's for me. I actually think that fake meat has come on so far. I don't even know if I'd eat cell meat now.
Mm.
I think I actually enjoy that new fake chicken that's out. It's so incredible. Yeah. And probably like yourself, I will be fucking lurking about a McDonald's near me for that first hit of that first vegan.
Okay. Genuinely, I am excited about this. McDonald's has finally pulled their finger out their ass and come up with a potentially decent vegetarian alternative.
You know what? There's one of the things I'd love to do in my life is not be with you, but like follow you're with your three boys, right? Elise, sweet Elise. You go to McDonald's and I'll probably get like a costume so you wouldn't recognize me, right? And I'll be just like hiding in the McDonald's just to watch you. Yeah, and you'll go in with your family. You will be so excited.
Well, the youngest one to be crying because this is big man following us.
No, you won't be able to.
But he doesn't recognise.
You won't be able to sort of stand still on the spot. You'll be shaking like a shitting dog, right? Because you're so excited to fucking have that first bite of that vegan deliciousness, right? Your family will all sit around. It'll be like the end of the Christmas Carol. All of your boys and sweet Lisa just looking at you as you take that first Big Mac bite. And you're like, the smile across your face, it was like almost like little Charlie or Theo or whatever will go, oh God, what is it like, Dad? And you'll be like, oh, it's delicious as I dreamed it would be.
Oh, you're such a cop.
No, I would just smile, nod my head and go, you know what, it's going to be okay. And then I'll get up and leave.
Why do you always have to make everything the end of a children's film?
I just think it will be a sweet moment. It'll be amazing.
Mm. And when is that burger coming out?
13th of October, I think.
How do you know that?
I think it is the 13th of October.
But why are you so across it? You don't even give a shit about vegetarianism.
Mate, my best friend is a vegan. I want to hear as much as the next person how it tastes, how it feels when it first enters your gob, you know? You know what would be quite cool? A cool thing for you to do: get a little of the vegan, like Big Mac sauce, on the edge of your mouth when you're bearded, and as you're leaving, someone will go, "Oh, well, you're saving that for later." And you just look at them and go, "I sure am. I sure am."
Yeah, whereas actually, in reality, somebody will say, "You're saving that for later," and I go, "You're a prick." I'm excited about it, man. I've got to say, because although our kids like the veggie dippers that they do,
are you going to make it a family outing? Or?
Probably.
That'd be quite
no, sweet. Do you know what? I can't think of the last time I've been into a McDonald's.
This is what I'm saying.
No,
and
but
you know what? You're not the only one, mate. You're not the only vegan out there. So
no, I know. I realise. I'm aware of that. I don't. Sort of. You're sort of saying it like I've claimed to be that.
No, but there will be loads of you guys, loads of vegans on that date, just going into McDonald's for the first time in ages, just like high fiving, hugging. Like smiling across the table, it would be beautiful, man.
Well, you do know that there are vegans. There are vegans that still won't go into McDonald's. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, of course.
They won't go to McDonald's,
mate. I'm not liking fucking, you know, this vegan Big Mac. I think it's an incredible thing. I'm not liking it to, you know, Jesus turning like bread into fish, which obviously again would have frustrated quite a lot of vegans.
Yeah, and also isn't the story, but go on.
Right.
he turned water into wine.
And bread into fish.
No, he didn't turn bread into fish.
He did. He had a little bit of...
No. He had a bit of bread and fish, and he fed 5,000 people with it.
Right,
he didn't turn bread into fish.
Right.
In what fucking set of circumstances would Jesus need to turn bread into fish?
Just
Jesus going, I'm going to feed you all. And then somebody goes, oh, actually, some of us aren't that keen on bread. Would you? I tell you what, wouldn't mind a little bit of salmon, though. Don't worry. I'm going to use the powers that God has bestowed upon me to turn this bread into fish because you're a fussy prick.
Yeah, but you know, it would have been the other way around. You'd have been there going, oh, you know, you've changed all of the bread into fish. Can you turn it back for about five or six of us at the back? We can't eat fish. We're not allowed. Right. What I'm saying is this. There was naysayers to Jesus even back then, Rob. Right?
Yeah,
you'll have your vegan brethren, right? It's your job, mate. It is your job to get on your Reddit files or whatever you do or your, you know, and go to your vegan brethren and say to them, it's okay. It's delicious. Maybe take them a bit.
Why is that my job? Why do I give a shit about supporting McDonald's? They're doing absolutely fine without me. Also, the point is there are some people think, why would you go and buy... By the way, I'm aware that I'm slightly sounding a bit like a bit kind of sanctimonious. I'm just making the argument. I'm not necessarily saying that I believe this. I'm just saying there is a bit of hypocrisy. Even if they do a vegan burger, they are mainly meat-based, aren't they? So going in there as a vegan, there's an argument that's a bit hypocritical. There is an argument. Also, I'm not saying I agree with it.
You've got to remember they're doing their best, mate, and before you know it, everyone's...
I wouldn't say they're doing their best.
Let me just say one thing.
That is an incredible overestimation of their... They're not doing their best.
Have you ever seen a castle before?
No.
It's the last form of work, my friend. You have seen, because I've been...
So why ask me the fucking question? Right. Do you think, to the point.
Do you think castles were built in a day?
Do I think castles were built in a day?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
It takes time to build great things, and that's what they're trying to do.
No, you're right.
You're right.
You're absolutely right.
Okay. And you know the saddest thing of it, and it's very much... When you go to an old church or an old cathedral or an old castle, do you ever stand there and think, oh, how sad that the person who started building this wasn't there for the end?
It's not occurred to me, no.
Also, do you ever thought that?
Do you definitely know that to be the case?
How long does it take a castle to build, right?
How long does it take a castle to build?
Mate, back in the old days?
Yeah.
20, 30 years, maybe.
Okay, so, and what was the average life expectancy? What, 35, probably, something?
Well, mate, even if you were 20 when you started, you wouldn't live to 50 in adult times, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Not if you're a labourer, anyway.
Okay. How long did it take to build a stone keep castle? Stone castles were extremely expensive. It took a great deal of time to build. If some modern Bailey castles could be constructed in less than a month, a medium-sized stone castle would have taken a minimum of 5 years to build. Well,
what about a really, really big cathedral? Put that in. How long did it take to build the cathedral?
I'm not googling how long it takes to build a really, really big cathedral. Or how long did it? How long did
Seville Cathedral take?
Okay, is that what you want to know?
Yeah.
How long did it take to build Seville? God, it's really painful. How long it's taking me to type this out? Oh my God! A century.
There we go. Right. So you start on that, knowing that you'll never see the outcome. Right. Very much like the person who probably is like now just first evolved this vegan burger. Right. So let's just say they're 45 or 46. Right. Okay. By the time the veganisms and everyone succumbed to this sweet, sweet vegetarian fake meat reality. Right. They're not going to be there. All they were is just, you know, somebody put their shoes into the sand first and said, actually, it's okay to stand on. And, you know, that's the sad thing in life sometimes.
Yeah, okay. I think what we're getting from this is that you love McDonald's way too much. Okay. Next email. Hi, Rom and Tom and Swan. I'm an American listener who's been an Arsenal supporter since the mid-90s. So I used to love weekends, but not so much for the last decade or so. Anyway, I'm recently divorced and starting to date again. I've gotten into collecting retro football shirts, like my newly acquired 88 Holland one. And I think they look honestly...
Ruud Gullit, Van Basten.
Yeah, okay, cool. I think they honestly look fashionable. But can I wear something like that on a first date? The context is a bit different here, as most people don't have an association with football shirts. So I think I can use them to take my fashion game to the max. Be curious to hear your thoughts. Thanks and love the podcast.
What's his name, this guy?
Joe.
I could have guessed. Good, solid name. Just, you know, actually, in America, Joe is the, like, that's the most, because, you know, that the thing of, like, I was in America, he's just an American Joe. You heard that saying?
I've heard that saying. What, it's not, what is the point you're trying to make?
I'm just saying it's nice that we've got an all-American Joe who listens to this show. So shout out, Joe. Listen, man, a lot of this is going to come down to, Joe, where you're going for your first date. If you're going to go to Junkyard Golf, which hopefully you have over there because it's an absolute riot, and if you ever come to England, shout us up. We can take you. It's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's incredible. So Junkyard Golf, if you're going there or you're going to go somewhere cool or somewhere vibey like that, maybe you're going to go to... like a place, like a darts place, or maybe you're just going to a more sort of, I guess the word I'm looking for is that sort of Shoreditch vibe that we have over here, right? If you've got that kind of vibe to it, your parent wearing it with a pair of slacks or jeans, they actually look a pair of sort of like nicely boldly cut chinos, nice pair of trainers, it could look good. If you're going to a smart restaurant, however, and you're kicking up into like a 3 to 5 course or a tasting menu, do not wear a football shirt, my friend. Don't. Also, it depends on what kind of vibe you want to create of yourself. It might, for you in your head, go, I'm a slacker, I'm chill, I'm vibing. Yo, my name's Joe, right? But she just might think you're a bit scruffy, right? So you have to basically put on a pair of glasses that are the glasses of the person you're going with and go, what is she going to think rather than what do you think? But that said, do you feel comfortable? Is that shirt going to give you the best version of yourself when you're sitting there, chin wagging away, mustering through the variables of your life? So there's a lot of options. For me, do it, man. Make the date chilled, make your vibe chilled, and wear that chilled football shirt.
Good advice from the wolf there. Joe, let me tell you something. Please don't wear a football shirt on your first date. I'm begging you. Do not wear a football shirt on your first date. And let me tell you why. Because when you go on a first date, everybody knows that you think very carefully about what you're going to wear, right? That you agonize over it to a greater or lesser degree, depending on how attractive and self-confident you are. If your first date sees that you've gone through that process and decided to wear a football shirt, and I know they don't have the same association, but she will still figure out that they've got the association with sport, you are just going to make her think you're an obsessive, right? And you're running the risk of being written off before you've even started speaking. So, and listen, I've got nothing. I think I like retro football shirts, right? And I think down the line you can comfortably wear them. But on a first date, I think it's an absolute...
What are you saying, Rom? Were you thinking turtleneck, pair of chinos, nice pair of shoes?
Well, as you said, Tom, it depends on the venue. You can overdress for a first date.
Yeah.
So, you know, be careful of that. I think you go simple. You go simple, a nice, clean-cut shirt, pair of jeans.
Or a polo shirt.
Nice pair of smart trainers or shoes, depending where you're going. Something, you know, something that isn't too, oh, I don't know, something that reflects.
Can I just throw something in the mix, Roman? I don't know how you feel about this. I think that I'm done with jeans now.
Wow. You really think so?
I think I'm done with jeans.
What makes you say that?
Just, I like a chino, I like a sort of cord, I like a smart tracksuit bottom. I don't know, since lockdown, it's like jeans just don't do it for me anymore.
Yeah, I would love to see what the jean sales have been like since lockdown. And by love, I mean sort of mildly interested.
Also,
because people just aren't, people have dipped out of the jeans game. Although, over the last week, Tom, I wore jeans for the first time in a while. And they do, you know, they do have their place.
Did you enjoy it?
I did actually, yeah. Didn't mind it.
Man, I wore a pair of chinos yesterday. Went out for breakfast or brunch with Catherine and just a little sweet, sweet roll at the bottom. The white sock and a white trainer, and felt so cool.
I had a bit of a problem where, have I talked to you about my moisturising regime?
No.
You know that every morning after I get out of the shower, I body lotion my entire body. Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't know that.
Just because, you know, dark skin can get quite ashy.
Yeah.
I was wearing trainers the other day with trainer socks and sort of a jean. And as I sat down, my ankles looked like rhino knees. And then I just became, it's the first time in a while, I became self-conscious about my ankles. They just look so dry and grey and horrible.
Really?
And then I started thinking about trying to find some moisturiser, just moisturise my ankles. I was so embarrassed about it, but I didn't in the end. I just lived with it.
You should go to get a pedicure and see if they can work.
I can't believe I'm staggered that I thought that was a story.
No, but also
I thought that was something to tell you.
You know why? You've been worrying about that. It's been in your mind. I would go, if there is such a thing, maybe, well, yeah, we have incredible listeners here. Maybe shout out, is there any ankle specialists out there who can get in touch with
Romesh? I don't need an ankle specialist. I just didn't moisturise.
I don't want this ankles to become, you know, the next thing that both of me and you are worrying about. I don't want to lie in bed thinking about your ankles. Let's just get this sorted before it becomes a thing.
Okay. Well, there you go. Joe, I hope we've helped you. Do not wear a football shirt on your first date.
And Joe, send us a picture maybe of you on your first date.
Yeah, send us a picture of you on your first date. Also, send us a picture of you in your 88 Holland shirt. That would be great. Only kidding, Joe. Don't send any pictures. Okay. Hope we could help. This is from Anonymous.
Wow.
This is quite, just to give you a little bit of a heads up, this is quite a, well, it's, you know, she's after genuine advice, this person.
Okay.
Hi, Wolf, Alan, Swan. Need some advice, please. I'm a female in my early 30s and have been seeing a guy for about 2 years. He's a couple of years older. We met about 5 years ago and got together under slightly unconventional circumstances. Things are going slowly, but well. He hasn't had a really long relationship in a while and he seems quite happy to doodle along. My question is, I'm so in love with him and I don't know how to tell him and I'm worried it won't be reciprocated. He isn't great with affection and doesn't really have a way with words that I've had in the past. Not sure if this means he isn't into me or not. Should I wait until he's ready to tell me, or should I bite the bullet and get things moving? I'm worried it will scare him off. He's so kind, gentle and patient, and has a heart of gold and has such great qualities that I can see in a future husband and father. But I also don't want to wait around if he isn't ever going to be ready to move to the next stage, which I'm keen to. He has a busy social life and sometimes struggles to find time for me. I often have to remind him to make time, perhaps because he isn't that into me, so I want to spend all my free time with him, which doesn't seem to be how he is with me. I really need some guy advice, please. And I thought your way with words might help me. Thanks so much for your help and sorry for the essay.
Yeah, Anonymous. Firstly, I would say that guys of that age, he will be into you. I would say without a doubt, if he's as gentle and as kind as you've said. I think, you know, speaking, you know, from experience and speaking from my own personal sort of, you know, I was single for quite a long time before I met my wife. And as a guy, you become quite sort of, I guess you find, you know, activities, hobbies, you know, going out drinking, whatever, you find a social life that sort of compensates for sort of a lack of a relationship for quite some time. So what you end up doing is sort of getting more groups of friends, and then you don't want to let those people down. And I think that he will be into you. I think you need to probably almost sort of bite the bullet in a sense and sort of say it to him. But I don't think you have to say you love him from the start. I just think you probably need to be quite open and saying, look, where do you see this going? Where do you think, see the next step being? And raising that in a question so you're not sort of opening yourself up to be too vulnerable. You know, you're just basically sort of saying that, you know, we like each other clearly. We get on. I want to process this to sort of being the next level of relationship. You know, I think naturally, I don't, you know, I can't speak for myself, but I think guys, we can sometimes get wrapped up in our own shit in our own head, and I think women are just a lot more at home with their feelings and conveying their feelings. I know that we talk a lot on here about mental health, we talk a lot on here about sort of how men are moving forward, and I think there's a lot of work to be done. Again, speaking of a personal nature, I think sometimes we struggle to convey those feelings at times, and we struggle to sort of be as open, or, you know, if I'm vulnerable, I suppose, with how we're feeling. And I think that's an important thing to remember, you know, that, yeah, he could be hiding, or there could be feelings or things that are a bit more deep-rooted and everything that he's feeling. So I think just a real honest and frank conversation between the two of you could be a way forward of sort of moving the whole relationship forward. But I think, you know, he clearly likes you. You know, you say he's gentle and kind, and by the sounds of things, he's one hell of a lucky guy too. So I wish you luck, my friend.
Well, you know, I find myself, as I so often do on these podcast episodes, struggling to find a way to top the advice that Tom Davis has handed out there. Really beautifully put, Tom. Thank you. The thing is, one of the things I'd say is, so many times people I know, or you hear about people, that they just aren't on a level in terms of expressing how they feel about somebody. And people fall into the trap of thinking that if somebody doesn't say something or somebody's not open about it, that means they don't feel the same way. And I think it's just going to be, for you, it's just going to be a matter of sort of getting to know how your other half expresses his level of affection. You know, some people are very kind of full on with it and open and say, I love you, and just very affectionate with their words and actions and stuff. And other people just aren't. And yeah, I guess there's a bit of meeting in the middle that's required. But, you know, it's a brief answer from me because I thought Tom put it really beautifully. Thank you, Tom. That's wonderful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Tom, it's about that time, my G. Now, first of all, before we get into your closing thing, can I just say, I've missed you.
I
texted you the other day, and it just feels like we haven't talked for a while, because we've both been quite busy. So,
and also, we haven't seen each other physically, no, which has been difficult.
No. Oh, there's one other thing I need to talk about. Quite a few people are, well, we got a couple of complaints on the email about us not doing bonus eps. I can say, can confirm now for you, Tom and I, before clicking record on our little production, have agreed a time to do our bonus episode. So for those of you that are worried or slightly annoyed about the thing that you get for free not being delivered as frequently as you'd like, please don't worry, because we're back on the bonus ep trail. Okay, Tom, could you please take us out with some of your wonderful lyrical wizardry that you are generous enough to treat us with on a weekly basis?
Peter was a slug and lived on the Robinson's patio. Every day he'd sort of drag his slug body from one end of the patio to the other. Sometimes this would take a week, sometimes short. Sometimes he'd dilly-dally in the grass. Then one day he came across a snail by the name of Ronan. And he was like, oh my God, he's just like me. But he has a house on the back of his back. And Peter sort of walked, like, crawl up to Ronan. He's like, oh man, like, what is that on your back? He's like, oh, this is my shell. It is my home when it rains. It is my solitude when I'm scared. It is the place that I go when everything feels doomed. Sort of, Peter says, that's a bit like the solitude thing, right? And he said, yeah, I was just thought of, there was three things, but there's really only two. Anyway, they chatted for a bit, and then the rain came, started coming down, and Rowan just pushed himself into the shell, and Peter tried to get in there with him, and Rowan said, there's only room for me. They're literally purposely built, so only one person can get in there. And Peter just dragged himself into the grass and found a leaf to sort of take shelter under. Anyway, 2-3 weeks later, and they sort of bump into each other every now and again on the patio, the rain started again. And Rowan turned around and was like, oh, back under a leaf. And Peter said, I'm back under a leaf. And Rowan said, see you in a while, crocodile. And Peter was a bit bemused because neither of them actually knew what crocodiles were. But he dragged himself through the grass under the leaf as Rowan pushed himself into the shell. And the youngest of all the Robinson children came sprinting out as the rain stopped and trod on the shell that Rowan was in. Peter just watched for a moment and thought, well, you know what? Sometimes where you think you're safest and you think that you are least vulnerable is actually the least safest place to be in the world. And actually, it's good to sometimes find other places to be safe and other places to try and rest your head. Don't limit the places that you seek solitude. There can be safety everywhere. He missed his friend, but he kind of knew that he'd learned an important lesson. Find shelter wherever you can. You sort of, yeah. A lot of characters in that one.
There's a lot of characters. You've got yourself. So you're trying to tie up Endgame there at the...
Yeah. It did feel like there was a sort of like origin story that could have sort of come before.
Yeah.
But I hope people realise what the actual sentiment was.
Yeah, he lost a friend just by pure chance, and he took that to mean he'd learnt some sort of lesson. I get it.
But if you just always just go, look, this is where my safe space, right?
Yeah.
Your safe space is in your head.
Right.
That's what it meant. But yeah, I'll probably sort of...
So is the leaf your head? Is that what you're saying?
No, but he could go to any leaf. It wasn't just one leaf. Or he could even go under a branch, a twig.
He just got lucky, didn't he? Because the kid could have easily stepped on a leaf, couldn't it?
Yeah, but that would have been chance. When you think that you're in the most safe place in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, the limitations are on your head.
But he also thought he was safe, didn't he? Because he went under a leaf.
Yeah, but...
He went there to be safe, didn't he?
But you've got to remember how arrogant Rome was. This is a place right. I can't be touched. I can't be touched.
Got you. Yeah. But he could be touched.
Yeah.
So do you think Paul was kind of slightly happy that he died?
I don't think he was happy, but I just thought...
But Rome was a bit of a cock, wasn't he? Is what you say.
Yeah, I think Paul probably just thought, more for you.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, the end of the story could have been that Paul, about 3 months later, got eaten by a bird.
Absolutely right, yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Tom, I've got to say, I've thoroughly enjoyed spending this hour in your company.
Lovely journey. So thank you so much for having me.
I'll speak to you in a few days, mate.
Yeah, I'll see you. Thank you
so much for joining us on The Wolf and Owl. Take care. Much love.
God bless everyone.
Peace out.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.